Good morning, and welcome to A Healthier You. I am your host, David Christopher, with my co-host, Fawn. This morning, as we do every Saturday morning, we're going to talk about ways of helping you to be healthier. Good morning, Fawn.
Good morning, David. It's a beautiful day outside.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
May 17th, 2008, and we are here, and the sky is so blue, and this is a perfect day to be outside, mowing lawns, putting in gardens, weeding. It's this great day.
I thought it'd be good this early in the season to talk about things like aphids and cabbage worms and cucumber beetles and Japanese beetles and mealybugs and scale and spider mites and whitefly. Why do we get all these things?
Well, I guess, I don't know.
Nature tends to destroy the weak.
There you go. Good reason.
You know, and it tends to preserve the strong. And so really, the best defense against these types of invaders is to have a healthy environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can use, you know, solely materials that are being beneficial for the environment, for the soil, for everything else, you know, then you're going to have a much greater chance of preventing these problems.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do first is you got to scout out and identify insect pests. And this is from the book, The Herb Companion. Well, book. It's a magazine comes out every month. So they say that the first thing you do is scout out and identify insect pests. Number two, destroy pests in their vulnerable larval stage. So, you know, once they become the insect, that's much harder. But if you get them when they're in the larval stage, that's the best chance you have. Establish a control routine and record applications. Keep your garden clean. That includes pots, tools, work surfaces, etc. And move and dispose of dying and dead leaves on plants in the soil. And, you know, just keep everything nice and clean. And then you know, nourish. If you got good nutriments for the plants, and if they're good, strong plants, they're most likely going to be able to withstand these problems. But if not, then there's some things that we can do. And they're green things. In other words, they're not going to harm the environment. Now, the first thing that we have here is a garlic and chili insecticidal soap spray.
Good idea.
Mm-hmm. And this is how to make it. So get your pans and pencils ready and some paper and something. You take 10 to 12 large cloves of garlic and 4 to 6 hot chili peppers, dried or fresh, and 2 cups of water. You put the garlic, chilies, and water into a blender and puree the content until foamy. You let the mixture stand at least 2 hours or overnight. When the mixture settles, you will have a coral-colored liquid with sediment at the bottom. Pour through a strainer lined with fine cheesecloth or through a coffee filter or jelly bag to remove particles that could block the sprayer valve. Then you pour the concentrate into a jar with a plastic lid, not a metal lid, and add soap, stir and label. And how much soap you add is about a tablespoon of a biodegradable soap. And this makes a concentrate. This is just a concentrate. And then what you do is you, for a quart or a liter spray bottle, you use 2 tablespoons of the concentrate, fill the rest of the bottle with water, spray plants late in the day, so hot sun can't burn the plants. Cover the top and bottom of the leaves. Reapply as often as needed, but allow several days between applications. Okay? Now, when you put water on a plant in the middle of the day, the little beads of water act like magnifying glasses and actually burn the plant.
That's not so good.
Yeah, so you kind of don't want to water during the heat of the day. You want to water, this isn't just for conservation, this is to protect your plants.
Exactly.
So you water in the cool of the evening. Now, another thing that we ought to look at is insect repellent. You know, most of the essential oils will help with that. The best ones would be like citronella, cinnamon, eucalyptus, lemongrass, lavender, patchouli, pennyroyal, peppermint, rose geranium, sweet orange, and vetiver. Citronella is one of the things that's in sensei. So if you're using it sensei, you probably, and it's got eucalyptus in there too. And so I think it's got peppermint in there too. But at any rate, you use that one, and that would probably be very beneficial. The best way to use it is to put some into some water and spray it around. You know, get it on your clothes and stuff, and apply it often. We have a plant growing in our yard that seems to be very good against ants. That's tansy. And so how we use tansy is we would take in about a cup of the tansy leaves, and a cup of the tansy leaves, a quarter boiled water, like we did before, mix it, strain it, and then add a tablespoon of soap. And it's got to be biodegradable soap, of course. And then you might want to, add one of these other essential oils in with it, maybe 10 drops of one of these others. And that should help deter ants, Spray it on the trails and things. And, ants are curious creatures, Things like aphids, they'll herd them. They're like little cowboys. And they use excretions of aphids, for food. And so it's like us with our cattle, I guess, I think it's kind of funny. But anyway, those are some of the things that you can do for these problems. Neem oil is something that's very, very good. And
how do you spell that?
N-E-E-M.
Okay.
It's a tree that grows in India that has leaves kind of like a walnut tree. And those leaves are very good against insects, so neem. The bark is used for getting rid of cavities in your teeth.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
In fact, I think the translation of the plant is beneficial, what did we say that was?
I don't know.
Health benefit tree or something.
So it gets rid of cavities?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's what neem is used for, the bark.
How does it do that? Does it help the enamel grow or something?
I think it actually is antibacterial.
Oh, interesting.
And so every part of the tree is useful, the bark and the leaves and the little nut and stuff. But you need to be careful with it because it works, it is a little bit toxic. And so if you're pregnant or want to be pregnant, you probably have to stay away from that one. Neem.
Good idea.
Okay. I thought it would be a really good idea to talk about just plants that you don't even have to grow. I mean, you don't have to do anything. They're just around. That's, of course, our wild herbs. And you find them even in your own backyard. One thing that I like to do is, I like to scout the yard and see what happens at night, and, get rid of all the dandelions and stuff or whatever, that's there. And then in the morning when some new ones have popped up and you got the yellow flowers,
mm-hmm.
I eat them. They taste pretty good, really.
Yeah, when they're young and tender, they are pretty
mm-hmm.
good.
Yeah, and then that some dog hasn't, used them as a marker or something, and then walking over them and stuff, So you can do that if you haven't sprayed your yard, with chemicals and things. And so, yeah, the dandelions are tasty and nutritious. The leaves are a little more bitter, so they're very good for the liver. But they're also very nutritious, too. In fact, dandelion is one of the most nutritious plants out there. And that little stem that comes up, that holds the flower?
Uh-huh.
That's got to be one of those bitter things I've ever tasted in my life. It is really bitter. So if you want some good medicament for your liver, the stem of the dandelion is really good. Then, of course, the roots are very beneficial and tasty, and you can take them and roast them, and it's kind of like a coffee substitute, or a postum, since they don't make postum anymore, substitute. So they're very beneficial plant, dandelion. You know, most people just do everything they can to get rid of it. And it isn't very pretty when it's in its white. Well, I guess it depends on, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, that's not the best. Pretty little yellow dandelions aren't so bad, you know, but boy, when they get in that white stage, it's not so wonderful.
There's a lot of kids that like to go picking dandelions for their moms. Because it's an easy thing to find.
Yeah, it is. And it's probably beneficial for mom to not have them there. So dandelion, another thing that seems to come up in almost everybody's yards, and everybody's pulling it out, and it's one of the, again, a very, very nutritious herbicide. It's probably more nutritious than anything you're growing in your garden. Everyone's pulling it out like, what's this here for, you know? And that's purslane.
That's right.
Now, we probably won't be seeing purslane until about, what is it, Fawn, about July?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see purslane in July. But it's kind of a funny-looking plant. It's got these, like, big watery-type stems, you know, that break up real easy. And the leaves are smaller than the stems, you know, a lot of times. You know, sometimes the stem's bigger. I mean, sometimes the leaves are bigger. But they're kind of little roundish-type leaves and spatulate kind of, you know. And when you chew them, they're very mucilaginous. And so it's a very, very beneficial plant for sore throats and sores in the mouth and, you know, on the skin and stuff, you know. So that, but it's very nutritious, like we mentioned. And it's very good for Parkinson's disease because it has a substance called L-dopamine, L-dopa. And that's very expensive when these people are buying that, you know, but you can get it for free in your garden. You know, and it has kind of a little sour taste, so it's like a good complement to the salad. You know, you're always putting something like vinegar or something in the salad anyway, you know, lemon or something. You can put purslane. It gives that little nice little sour taste. But the purslane tastes really good. And so, the very, very beneficial things that you don't really have to throw away, or if you do remove them, you can use them. You eat them. You know, just put them in your salad. Now, one that people really don't like, we find quite often out there, is wild lettuce. Now, the wild lettuce is almost identical to sow thistle. But if you look on the midrib of the leaves and then down the stem, it's got these wicked little spikes. You know, they're almost hair-like, you know. So they're not really prominent, you know, but you feel it, and oh, they're just it's spikes. You know, it's these little sticker things. I can't call it sticky, they don't come out. But it's like one of those bad haircuts for rebellious youth, you know, where they spike their hair.
Mm-hmm.
Spike down the midrib, you know. And at any rate, sharp. You know, you should press in and it'll just poke into your skin. Anyway, that's wild lettuce. And that's one of the best things for pain and nervousness at the same time. So wild lettuce. And it's mainly that when you break it, that white stuff that's in there, you know, that works on that. And also that white stuff that's in there is good to apply to warts, to help dissolve warts. That and milkweed you'll find out there,
which has
a lot more of it.
We have milkweed just volunteering.
It just volunteered, yeah.
I don't know where it came from.
Well, you know.
All of a sudden, one day it just showed up.
You know, when it matures, then the wind picks up those seeds and just takes them where it wants to take them. And then we luckily got some, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's lucky until you got all that white stuff, you know.
All over the place.
All over the place, all over your hands and stuff when you try to pick it. But that white stuff is, like I said, what gets rid of warts. So, milkweed, wild lettuce. And let's see, what some other ones. Chickweed grows in people's lawns, you know, and that's one of the best things for the skin. And what are some of the other things that just grow around? Clover, of course, you know, is if people were using their clover, then there wouldn't ever be any need for this, what's that drug that I really hate?
I don't know. There's a lot of drugs you don't like.
Yeah, really. That's for sure. It's like heparin. I can't think of the other name.
Oh,
but it coumarin, yeah. It thins the blood, and it also makes you so you can't clot, which is insane medicine, you know. Instead of making your body not work and not clot, because that's what protects you, you know, that's what keeps your vascular system intact, you know. So I just don't understand their whole philosophy with stopping, you know, the body from clotting. Instead, they need to see why the vascular system is getting damaged. And that really all goes back to vitamin C. People aren't getting enough vitamin C in their diet. We gave those statistics in the program a number of times. You know, most people in the United States don't eat any fruit on a daily basis, especially vitamin C-rich fruit. They don't eat it. Half of Americans don't get any fruit on a daily basis, which includes jams and jellies and things. They don't get it, you know.
That's crazy.
You know, you spend all your time at fast food places, you know, yeah, that's probably what happens. You're not going to find a lot of vitamin C at fast food places.
And there's a lot of fast food places. Well, I don't know a lot, but there are several fast food places that are offering, in place of french fries and stuff, carrot sticks or fruit, little fruit bowls and stuff. But how many people really buy them? You know?
It's true.
Oh, I'm here for a fast food place. I'm getting my french fries.
You know, it's just kind of a habit that we Americans have. You know, you have your hamburger and you have your french fries and you dip your french fries, and it's just a habit thing.
Yeah.
So at Ginger's Garden Cafe, with their sandwiches, they serve carrot sticks with a little dip.
We like to dip things.
It's like that takes care of that habit of dipping french fries. You dip your carrot stick in the little
dip.
Yeah, and eat it, and it's just like, whoa, I just had a fast food meal.
Yeah.
Because I had my dipping stuff and I had my sandwich.
But it's fun to dip, and it's fun for kids to do that.
No, at the Ginger's Garden Cafe, they have got some new sandwiches we talked about. Really good. Now, I don't really eat turkey, but they have a turkey club, you know, and it's served on that wonderful whole wheat focaccia.
Mm-hmm.
So they also have a BLT that doesn't have any meat at all, you know, and that's served on their whole grain bread, which is okay. I just really love that focaccia. So I'll go and buy the turkey club without turkey. I mean, I think I'm the only one that orders that. But it is so good. In fact, Jesse, you know, had the turkey club.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him about it. I said, well, so how is it? And he goes, you know, I think the turkey gets in the way of the taste. You know, it's such a tasty, tasty sandwich.
I'm going to have to try it. Yeah. I've been trying. I'm craving a pizza from Ginger's, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I just really thought they did a great job with those little individual pizzas.
Yeah. And such a good price for what you're getting, organic pizza sauce, you know. And you know what? A lot of the health brands of pizza sauce have sugar in them.
Mm.
And all of the other ones have sugar in.
Sure.
Or corn syrup, even worse, you know. High fructose corn syrup. In pizza sauce, I didn't know. I didn't realize that.
Well, of course they do.
Ginger's has no sugar in their pizza. You don't need it.
Mm-hmm. It's really quite tasty.
It is a very, very tasty pizza because our chefs know how to make things tasty.
Well, of course they do.
You know? And so other people may look at it and get, you know, the same ingredients and think, you know, and put out the same kind of pizza, and it's not going to taste as good as Ginger's.
Because
our chefs know what they're doing. You know, it's like, you know, and it's not like, well, let's just throw this together. They worked on it for like a week or so, you know, and they came up with it, and I tried it, and it was like, wow, you hit the nail right on the head.
It's really good. And I really want one today.
You know, and I have to admit, I really like pizza, you know, but pizza doesn't like me. So I'll eat pizza, and it's like, oh, that was good. You know, of course, with the better things on the veggies and stuff, you know, but still, it's pizza.
And it sits.
And it sits on my stomach, and I don't digest it, and it bloats me up, and I don't feel good, you know. So I'll get the nice taste of pizza, but I don't feel good afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Ginger's is trying to do, is trying to get you your comfort foods in a healthy way so that they taste really, really good and satisfy you for what you're used to, but don't give you that bloated, terrible, awful feeling, because everything is so digestible on their pizzas, you know. And they're really delicious. I think they come standard with like onions, peppers, and mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
But you can change and say, oh, I want this instead, I want this instead. And I tried one with onions and tomatoes and avocados. I've never had avocado on a pizza before.
Oh, and I had some slivered almonds on mine, and I loved it.
If you're thinking, oh, I don't like cooked avocado, they don't cook it. What they do, they make you a nice little pizza, you know, and they cook it, and they take it out, and they slice the avocados on top. So you got fresh avocados on your pizza, and it's so good. I really like it.
So do we get to have a pizza today?
Sure, I think we could probably.
Oh,
do
good, because I'm all of a sudden really craving
nice,
a pizza.
You know, one thing that's interesting about gingers is they're very, very concerned with your health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you don't find soda pop there.
Of course not.
Not even quote unquote health soda pop.
Yeah.
You know, like a Blue Sky or something. That's just soda pop. You know, there's no redeeming value of soda pop. Not even decarbonated water. I mean, you breathe in oxygen, you breathe out CO2. So you're drinking your waste. You know, there's no redeeming value to any type of soda pop. And so you won't find soda pop at Ginger's Garden Cafe, but they've got the most lovely limonades, fresh squeezed.
Many different flavors.
Organic. I mean, it is very, very nice. And they got many flavors of this limonade. And they also, generally, I mean, it sells off really fast with the carrot juice, you know. And their carrot juice, it took a little while, you know, and you have to really be careful, and you have to taste your carrots and stuff, you know, and get the right type. Because some carrot juice tastes just horrid.
Oh, I know.
And if you've had horrid carrot juice, just know that you got it from the wrong place. Ginger's carrot juice tastes delicious. And like I said, a lot of things at Ginger's Garden Cafe, it's like you eat it, and it's like, I don't want anything else. I just want to taste this in my mouth for the next 20 minutes, you know?
Exactly like that cauliflower
even,
almond soup.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But even the carrot juice tastes that way. It's like, oh, this tastes really good. I want this taste in my mouth for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just like everything on their menu is just wonderful.
How did we get off on gingers?
I don't know. What were we talking about? Talking about herbs in your garden and stuff. And
I was going to bring up one to you. What about plantain? I mean, that's available.
Well, it's another very good one. You know, and people are like, yeah, let's get rid of this. But plantain is one of the most beneficial plants out there. You know, and you have slivers or something you want pulled out. Tell them about your slivers, Fawn.
Oh, I think I've done that on the show before. I don't know why I kept cleaning this one section of our kitchen and kept getting slivers under my fingernails, and it hurts really bad.
It did. I looked at it, and I almost fainted. And that wasn't even me. It was you.
You didn't even tell me that. But, I mean, they were deep down. And
I know.
Hurt.
That's why I almost fainted.
And
it looked awful.
And I couldn't reach them. I mean, I couldn't. There was nothing. They were so far. Oh, my gosh. It just hurt so bad. So I called David at the office, and I said, on your way home, stop someplace and pick me up some fresh plantain. Go find some growing someplace. And so he did. Brought home some fresh plantain, and we chewed that up and packed my finger, pushed it under my fingernail and just packed my finger with this fresh plantain and wrapped it up. And I left it on there a good 24 hours or more. I took it out, and lo and behold, that sliver had moved up to the point where I could grab it and pull that thing out. It was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it is amazing how plants can work so wonderfully.
That's right. And plantain is a simple one that's just free out there.
I know.
If you don't know what it looks like, you need to come on my herb walk.
You absolutely, on June 12th at 2:30 p.m. located, you're going to start at the herb shop.
I'll start at the herb shop and go from there.
I know. But, you know, that is the perfect time to come and find out what plants, weeds some people, are growing so readily available in your gardens, in your lawns, that you can harvest and use so easily. The herb walk on June 12th. What day of the week is that? Is that a, do you know? I can't remember. I don't have a calendar in front of me. Anyway, the herb walk on June 12th.
Probably a Thursday. Probably.
Probably. Yeah, I think actually it is. Starts at 2:30, it ends at 6, and you, David only takes a limited amount of people, and so if you really want to go on this, you need to be signing up now, calling people.
You need to arrange your work schedule. It's like, this is 2:36, so you're going to have to go, oh, I think I need to take this day off. I need to use one of my sick days.
Take a half day off.
Since you're already into health, listening to our program, you probably don't need all your sick days, and so take one.
take a half day. And come and eat, have a lunch at Ginger's Garden Cafe, and then you're there at 2:30 ready to go on the herb walk. Wear a good pair of walking shoes. You want to bring notebooks and pencils or pens, maybe some scotch tape, so if there's adequate amount of plants, you can pick a little bit and tape it into your book so you can help remember how to identify. And it's just a really fun herb book. And like I said, David only takes a limited amount of people so that you don't trample down all the herbs.
Right. Yeah. Find a babysitter. You know, just get everything arranged and come to the herb walk.
You know, and what's even better, like I said, you can have lunch before the herb walk. Then when you're done, you can go back and have dinner.
That's right.
Have your family meet you at Ginger's, and then you can have dinner after the herb walk. I mean, what a fantastic way of getting, you know, some
good nutrition. Oh, bag the pan, let them do their own.
Okay.
No, they would love Ginger's.
Anyway, call, locally, you can call 489-4254 and tell them that you're interested in the herb walk. It is $65, and it's well worth every single penny.
If you're listening up from Salt Lake or, you know, somewhere fairly close, like within a couple hours of drive,
call 1-800-372-8255.
You know, we had a student that lived in Wyoming that came to our classes every week. Drove down from Wyoming. That's how valuable they thought our class was. And, well, knew their classes were, and while they were taking it, it's just like, whoa, I drove a lot even further, you know.
Yeah.
And we've had them drive from a long ways away, so it's not nothing for one time, you know.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, and like I said, you'll be located at the herb shop, Ginger's Garden Cafe, at 188 South Main in Springville. So pick up some lunch. Then when you're done, go and have a dinner. I mean, you're going to be working up an appetite.
They've got some handy little water bottles that you could buy there, and their water is wonderful.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So Ginger's, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people, of course, most restaurants serve you water, but not very many serve you quality, filtered, purified, nothing in their water but water.
H2O only, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's been hit with those ultraviolet lights and everything. So there it is. It's pure, clean. You can't get anything better than Ginger's Garden Cafe. And you have all the water you want. You know, you sit down at the table and you just get as much water as you want.
Right.
It's right there in a dispenser for you to get.
And now's the time, you know, it's so easy to get dehydrated. I think that may be part of our little Ginger's problem. She's, you know, it's starting to get hot outside, and she's just not drinking enough water.
And you so start drinking more water now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's you know, and we're about at the bottom of the hour already.
We are, but just remember, the herb walk would be absolutely wonderful, and it's only going to happen this one time.
That's right, June 12th. So call 489-4254, that's the local number, or if you're
reserve your space with a credit card or something.
Exactly. Or if you're out of our local area, call 1-800-372-8255. And now we're going to talk about people we like to talk about. And I don't know why all of a sudden I'm choking up.
Well, a little bit of drink of water, and I think that would probably help. We've always had a really good time on this herb. And it's not just an herb walk, it's an herb drive. Because, you know, it's not just you're going to find things right there. You're going to drive over here and find something, drive over there and find something, mm-hmm. you know. And so we've got a nice van that we can, you know, drive you around in. And well, yeah, it's a van. Okay. And we'll just drive you around. And while we're driving, we'll talk and teach you about herbs while we're going. So, you know, it's a very good experience.
Our number here is 224-1414, and we're going to open up the phone lines.
Do you have the cost on there?
$65.
Oh, good price.
I already
price.
Said that.
Oh, good price, good price.
Several times. Anyway, our number here is 224-1414. We're going to open up the phone lines. We want to hear from you on this great, big, beautiful, sunny day. If you're outside working in your garden already, good for you. Take your cell phone out and give us a call. We want to hear from you and know that you're having a good time. Hey, you know, there's a few people that we really like to talk about, and so we're going to talk about them right now. But that doesn't mean you can't be calling, because the phone lines are open. First one is Roanne Van Sluten. We just really like her. I just was up there this last week with my daughter, Tara, who just had a baby, and Roanne was able to help adjust Tara's hips back into perfection, and she worked on every single one of the children, the 5-year-old, the 3-year-old, and even the 3-week-old baby. She checked out the baby, and she could tell that she needed just a little adjustment here and a little bit there, and oh, it was so nice. The baby just slept through the whole thing, and the 5-year-old and 3-year-old just really did a good job. She's so sweet and so kind and works so well with these children that we really are impressed with her. And she, her clinic is in Salt Lake, and it has full-spectrum chiropractics. So whatever kind of chiropractics you want, you can find there. Her number is 801-486-9355, and that will help you find Roanne and her husband and her father that work at this clinic. We also want to talk about Chris Chapman. We really like Chris Chapman. We're so sad when he was not in practice, but he is now back in practice and has opened up some clinics called Balance Point Clinic in Salt Lake, and he is strictly Nuka Chiropractics, and that is an amazing way to help straighten your spine so that you feel good for the rest of the day and you can do the things you like to do.
If your upper cervicals are off, I wouldn't see any kind of other kind of chiropractor but a Nuka chiropractor.
Exactly. And more likely than not, your upper cervicals are off.
Nobody twists my neck.
Yeah, exactly.
And Dr. Chris Chapman doesn't have to twist your neck. He can get those upper cervicals in without twisting your neck.
Exactly.
And it's like when I had my first treatment with him, I'm going, okay, when's the treatment? He goes, it's over. I go, what? You know, because I was just dreading, because I've been to chiropractors before, and I just dread them twisting my neck. And he doesn't. He doesn't need to. That's what they learn in the Nuka chiropractic. You know, they graduate, and then they go on and specialize in this upper cervical. And they do not twist your neck. They don't jerk anything. You know, it's a very gentle procedure. The one thing I didn't like about it, you know, is all the x-rays, you know, but they've pinpointed it and got them down so they're not so bad, and they can even stand around and talk to you while they're doing the x-rays, and they don't even have it in a closed room.
Wow.
Because, you know, the inspectors come and stuff, you know, but they don't put out enough radiation, x-ray beams, to warrant closing it in with lead shields and stuff.
That's amazing.
It really is. And so he takes these very exact x-rays to see exactly how your cervicals are out, then he knows how to put them back in. It's really quite amazing.
Yeah, he just has to reverse the process,
mm-hmm.
which is really amazing. That's why he does mathematical computations. And
Absolutely. So I'm quite impressed with what he does and what he can accomplish.
So let's give you the number for Chris Chapman. It's 801-931-5550. 801-931-5550.
You know, our phone lines are open.
And there's one call waiting for us.
Okay, 224-1414. We'd be glad to talk about your health concerns. Did we finish up on the...
I just wanted to finish with David Hall and
okay,
the Cellar Sizer, because, you know, the Cellar Sizer is something that you can use every day, and for 10 minutes a day, you get to exercise every kind of cell in your body, your eye cells, your ear cells, your skin cells, your liver cells, your kidney cells, whatever cells you will have in your body, you can exercise in this 10 minutes a day. And it's so easy, and so if it gets too hot outside, jump on your Cellar Sizer in the comfort of your air-conditioned house. Or if it's too cold outside, you can use it in the wintertime when it's heated inside. I mean, it's just a really neat little thing.
I don't know if people out there have been in the same situation I have. You get in a situation where everything hurts and you don't want to move.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you don't want to twist your head. You don't want to do anything. It's just everything hurts.
Right.
I'll get on the Cellar Sizer, you know, and it doesn't take big jumps because that would hurt.
Exactly.
But I just go... up and down and up and down and
just
up and down and up and down. And you know what? It starts to relieve the pain.
It does. It really does. It's amazing.
Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes. Good morning. I was calling because I was wondering. On the news this week, they talked about how this tree hole mosquito is going to come and be vicious and attack humans and animals. And anyway, the protocol that you talked about this morning for insect repellent, was that would work for these aggressive mosquitoes that they're talking about?
Okay, we'll talk about mosquitoes. Okay, thanks.
That's a good question.
Yeah, it is. One of the things you want to do is make mosquitoes not want you. You know, if they've got a choice of flying over to your neighbor or you, it'll take your neighbor. And living very healthily is one thing you can do. Eating foods that your neighbor doesn't eat, like radishes and things, is going to help. Eating garlic helps tremendously. Boy, mosquito gets in there and goes, garlic? Oh, I'll go find somebody else. You know, so just the fact that eating onions and garlic helps with the mosquitoes. And then, yes, these herbs makes them so they don't even want to land on you. I remember going on a river trip down the Green River. And I did an experiment. I put the herbs on one arm and not on the other. And... they would land on my arm, you know.
They
check it out and it's like, I don't want to get into that stuff. And then they'd go over the other arm and bite. So they were in a biting mood, absolutely. But the herb seemed to work quite nicely. And so,
what herbs did you use?
Hey, do you know, I think we used to have one called Bug Off. Do they still have that?
I don't know if they still have it.
You can check and see, and they might have another one like it, but it was just some essential oils like the citronella and stuff. So even the sensei, you know, if you rub that on, it's going to help.
Oh, you bet. And sensei smells good.
You know, we had one of our instructors, her son went over to Africa, you know, and the guy that was leading the expedition, he put every kind of chemical you can imagine, you know, on him, you know, and he wore sleeves, you know, long sleeves, and then gloves, and he sprayed the clothes heavily, you know, and took all these drugs and stuff, you know. And her son got over there and goes, well, look, everyone's out there without hardly any clothes on. I'm just going to wear my shorts and tevas.
That's what he did.
That's what he did. And he didn't have a problem. And this guy that took all the chemicals and stuff, he got sick and ended up in a hospital. But he was over there, you know, with all these foreign mosquitoes and everything, you know, and he was fine. He didn't have a problem at all. So I wouldn't worry about vicious mosquitoes, you know, and, you know, I would just keep myself healthy and eat your garlic. You know, you may not have many friends.
But you won't have mosquitoes.
But you won't have mosquitoes, yeah. Okay, let's go back to phone lines. Good morning, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I think I've heard it in the past, but I'd like to know on molds, what herbal extracts or whatever you would use to try to get rid of those.
That's a very good question.
That are precancerous, and maybe if one looks like it might just be turning into possibly a cancerous mold, is there anything different that you would do herbally with one of those?
Okay.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you for your question.
Good question.
Yeah. The moles, you know, if they're precancerous or not, you have to realize that cancer is a result of damaged cells. So we don't really want to damage cells anymore. So one of the things we would do is do some cleansing, you know, that's going to help the whole body. So, you know, the Dr. Christopher's lower bowel formula, his liver formula, his kidney formula, and his bloodstream formula to cleanse right down the cellular level so that we don't have this spread, so we don't damage any more cells. And stay away from things that are damaging cells, like charbroiled meat and cold cereals and things, you know, highly processed grains, high fructose corn syrup, you know, all these things are loaded with dairy. Well, mainly I'm talking about these highly processed foods that are just full of free radical oxygen. And free radical oxygen really damages the cells. Dairy tends to clog things up and then cause cell damage by having such a clogged up system. But anyway, stay away from these things. Cleanse the system out, you know, from the inside out, you know, and then the skin problems aren't going to be so evident. And so doing the internal cleansing, I think, is more important than working right on the moles. But you get moles because you aren't so clean inside. And the moles happen because the body's going, well, you know, I can't get it out one way, I'll get it out another. So how it goes. And as it goes out, then cells can be damaged, you know. Skin cells can be damaged. And then if the body can't handle the process of, you know, repairing those cells, then cancer sets in there. So the main thing is clean, nourish, eat the right foods, and that's the best thing for dealing with moles. Now, specifically to work on the moles, now that we've got the other thing going, we're doing the cleansing and the nourishing, eating a fresh produce diet, especially here during the summer, this is a good time to do that. Fresh fruits and vegetables would be the way to go. Now that we're doing that, then we can work specifically on the moles. You don't want to work on the moles until you start working on internal cleansing. And then when we're working on the moles, probably the best thing to do would be to around the area, I would put the complete tissue and bone formula just to protect those cells around the area. And then right on the problem, then we can put the cayenne ointment or and or garlic oil around the whole area too would be really good. And then specifically on the mole, we can put that, after putting the cayenne ointment on, we can put that black ointment. That'll start breaking down and pulling the bad environment out of that area. Okay. Another thing we can do is, of course, the plantain that we talked about before, you crush that up and you put that right on the mole, and that'll help pull things to the surface and get rid of that bad environment. And once the bad environment's gone, if there's any cancer cells, that'll probably pull out with the same procedure. And then we get rid of that bad environment, and then the cells around with all that nice garlic oil and complete tissue and bone formula, you know, all those cells will just heal and be healthy and close in the area, and then everything will be fine. So that's the way we deal with that situation.
Sounds good.
Do we have a phone call?
Not yet. 224-1414.
Hey, it's totally open, so you'd be right in. So give us a call, 224-1414, and we'd be glad to talk about your health concerns, whatever you'd like to talk about.
You know, we have a free weekly newsletter that is so amazing. It's really, I'm really loving this weekly newsletter that comes.
We're up in thousands now.
Yes, we are.
Subscribers.
Over 2,000. And we have, it's fun. It comes every Wednesday morning right to your computer. And it takes, what, just a few minutes to read through it and get the information.
Yeah, it's not a long newsletter. Very informative.
And what I like about it also is that you have a nice, fun recipe that you can try. One week we had a veggie potato salad. One week we had a spinach salad you could make. Another week we had, oh, I can't remember all the things they've had on there, but it's been fun to try out new recipes. People are always asking me, well, how do you cook? I want some of your recipes. And I'm thinking, you got to get your own. You know, you got to make them the way you want them. But this weekly newsletter and the recipes really helps you to make that change and to start applying some of this and making your diet healthier.
And what we do is we just take regular recipes and look at the ingredients, and if they're wrong ingredients, we find something to substitute for that, and they still work out just fine.
Oh, absolutely. Don't be afraid to experiment.
You know, and chefs who have tried different herbs and things know combinations that work really well. So, yeah, I wouldn't be afraid to use somebody else's recipe and then put good stuff in it.
Exactly.
It works very well.
Substitute out the bad and put in the good. Anyway, so that's part of the free weekly newsletter. You have an article, a health article. You have a recipe. You have other things on there that, I mean, it doesn't, so it's really a nice newsletter. Ryan does a really good job of it.
You know, and with summer coming on, and one of the first things that seems to come out, unless I'm mistaken, don't we get zucchinis fairly early?
Oh,
no.
I don't know
July,
if they're early, but they come out when everything else comes.
Okay. Any rate, one of the things you can do, yeah, you can go down the store and buy them, but, zucchinis like raw food is pasta,
mm-hmm.
You know? You take and fine shred zucchini and then put your wonderful tomato sauce on there, you know?
Oh, yeah. Saute up some mushrooms and onions.
If you're a raw foodist, you can make up a nice chopped marinade, you know?
Oh, sure.
With the tomatoes. But tomatoes are one of the best foods out there for health concerns with all that lycopene in, you know. And guys, if you're concerned about maybe future prostate problems, you need to do tomatoes on a daily basis.
You know, I forgot to tell people that the free weekly newsletter, if you want to sign up for that, go to herballegacy.com. And there's a link there that you can sign up.
Okay, herballegacy.com. And you have to realize that herballegacy.com, it shouldn't be a .com anyway. It's just we've had it for so long. It's there's nothing sold there. It's totally an information site, so it should have been an org or an edu or something, you know, but it's a information site. So don't worry about going on there and then all of a sudden hitting a page where you have to buy something. I hate sites like that, you know.
Me too.
But it's totally information. There's nothing to be sold. So get on there and find out some good information. You know, and one of the best ways of finding out information is give us a call, 224-1414. We'd be glad to answer your questions. And another really good way of getting information would be to take the school.
Invest in yourself.
Oh, yeah. You know, you could be the educators of your neighborhood. People come to you. And so many of our students, it's like that they'll call and tell us, Well, you know, I signed up for your school, and people found out I signed up for your school, and now they're asking me all these questions that I don't know yet, you know?
Oh, exactly, and that always happens. I like I said before, I was correcting this one test last week, and there was a note on it that said, my mom's been helping me study for this test through, you know, February, March, but and May, but we didn't do anything in April because she was so sick. But with the information I learned from the course, I was able to help her get her over the sickness really well, and she's doing so much better. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, it's those kind of letters that make us feel so good, and it's that kind of information that empowers her to really use this information and apply the techniques and help somebody get better, so especially somebody like a mom that you just really love.
You know, and I'll have so many people call me, and, you know, I have the free hour for questions, you know,
yes,
from the public, and I get calls all over the world. I'll have people call and they'll go, I called you a couple months ago, and I just have another question. I'm saying, so did whatever we talked about before work? Oh, yeah, yeah, that's why I'm calling again, you know.
They don't call back to tell you how it did.
You're right. But I've had a number of people say, oh, yeah, you saved my life, you saved my friend's life, you know, or, you know. The herbs work very, very well.
Exactly.
Let's go back to phone lines. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. I'd like to find out what kind of natural remedies could help vertigo, just incapacitating dizziness that comes on all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
What do you think would make the body disoriented?
The fluid in the ears,
too. Yeah, yeah. An environment that's non-conducive for proper functioning. And what we generally find is that we're getting clogged up in the inner ear. And the body has a natural way of, you know, doing its processes. You know, the cells need to be fed, and then the cells need to eliminate, and that elimination then exits the inner ear via the eustachian tube, which goes from the inner ear to the back of the throat. It dumps out, and there it is. That's the way the inner ear functions. And so if that eustachian tube's clogged up, that's like corking your anus. And if you can't get anything out, you're going to get all clogged up, and you're going to feel bloated and awful, terrible, you know, if you can't eliminate. Well, the same thing with your head, with your inner ear. If that environment stays that way, you're going to get disoriented, just like you are if your bowel's not moving.
Exactly.
And so the lower bowel for the inner ear, you know, is horseradish. That seems to work really, really well. So finally grate up some fresh horseradish and put your nose real close to it and breathe it in. And a lot of times that'll open up your eustachian tubes. The cayenne ointment, the sensei ointment, those work. That sensei, you just, you know, take a dab of that and just rub it in your palms and cup your palms and breathe deep, and that's all you need. You know?
Or you can rub it on.
Yeah, you also rub those ointments around the ear and then under the jaw and then on the jaw, and that tends to, from the outside, start helping to move the blockages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a guy, I've told this on the show before, but I'm going to do it again. He was doing computers for the company and didn't have any work for him to do, so they were going to send him home. And he goes, oh, I need the money. Can you let me do something else? And they said, well, all we got some kitchen work, you know. And they were making cayenne ointment that day down in the kitchen. So he says, I'll be glad to work down there. So he goes down in this environment where this cayenne ointment is up in the air, and it's just like people are crying.
It's pretty strong.
People are crying. It's so strong down there, you know. But he goes and works in that environment, and by the time he finished the shift, he could hear. See, he'd been deaf for...
In 1 year.
He'd been deaf for, what, 4 or 5 years?
I can't remember.
He'd been deaf for that long in the 1 year. And just by being in that environment and breathing those fumes up, all it did was open up his eustachian tubes, and whatever had been clogging that, you know, causing his deafness, all that junk that was in there, came out, and then he could hear again. Isn't that amazing? So that's basically what we want to do, is clear out that eustachian tube. And there's no need going down the road with 1 foot on the brake and 1 foot on the gas. You know? You don't want to work on trying to clear that eustachian tube and then drink a glass of milk. You know? That's going to stop everything up. In fact, probably the dairy that got you there in the first place, or got him there in the first place, or whatever, you know, it's, you know, that's the very worst thing for clogging up the head, is dairy products. So yeah, totally stay away from dairy products. Do this cleansing to get it out. One of the ways of getting that those essential oils up in the air would be to boil some water on the stove, take it off, put the essential oils in there, and probably the best one would be that MPR formula because it doesn't have the beeswax. And you spray that into the pan, and then put your head over the steam and breathe it in. You can put a towel around your head and make a little tent so you got more in there, you know. But breathe that in, and that may open up that eustachian tube. And as a last-ditch effort, if that doesn't work, you take a little teeny bit of cayenne pepper, put it in the palm of your hand, put it next to your nostril, snuff it right up your nose, okay? And that's going to hurt like the dickens, but it's most assuredly going to open up that eustachian tube like it opens up your nostril.
Your nostril's going to feel like a mile wide.
Yeah, so will your eustachian tube. It'll open up and drain. Okay. I think that was good information on that.
Yep, I do too.
Let's go back to phone lines. Good morning, you're on the air.
Well, good morning.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Two things. One, I'm trying to call your show quite a bit, and the number won't go through.
Uh-oh.
It tells it's not a working number anymore.
224-1414.
Uh-huh, and I've tried to...
So how did you get through?
Well, I called the station, and they said, well, just keep calling, because somebody's getting through, and so the third time I went, it finally went through.
Oh, good.
But the other, I don't know if that's why maybe somebody's not calling, they're experiencing the same thing. I
have to check that out.
Okay. The other thing is, last week he was talking, I tried to call, he was doing urinary infections.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And on the, you know, I'm a paraplegic, and so I live with that, and I got real bad. And my wife found edemanose. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Haven't.
It's D-M-A-N-N-O-S-E, demonose, and it's an extract from the cranberry.
Oh, okay.
Highly concentrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so bad that they had me on Cipro. It was a... fighting that infection, I was doing 700 milligrams three times a day.
Pretty heavy duty antibiotic, isn't it?
Yeah, that's real heavy. And when you get through that, then you're to the point of losing your kidneys, and then it gets a little darker after that.
Mm-hmm.
She found that about 4 years ago, and we started taking it. And I haven't taken an antibiotic since.
Oh, good.
And I just want to pass it on to someone else that has chronic, you know, infection, that it's a mighty, mighty wonderful thing. And it's all natural.
Well, great. Thank you for your call.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Yeah, concentrated cranberry is exactly what we've been talking about on the show for the last 16 years, you know. Concentrated cranberry works this way. What happens is the polysaccharides in cranberry, for some reason, confuse bacteria, and bacteria actually adhere to the polysaccharides in the cranberry rather than adhering to your bladder wall. And so that's how that works. Now, if the bacteria have already adhered to the bladder wall, cranberry won't do a thing. Basically, what it does is it tricks the bacteria. So, what we do is we have them take the Dr. Christopher kidney formula, which has the uvaeurice and juniper and all those things, you know. And we'll have them take that one for the bacteria that's already adhered to the bladder wall, along with the Cranactin, which is a concentrated cranberry that's one of the first out of the market that works very, very well.
Exactly.
Then we'll take the two together, and amazing. I was just there at the restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and a gal there goes, oh, I just got to thank you. She says, I had bladder infections for 14 years and never been able to touch, you know.
Amazing.
Always keep coming back. And she says, you told me about the kidney formula and the Cranactin together. I haven't had a problem since.
That's great.
14 years, you know, trying to get rid of that. Well, let's take another call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes. Yes, I have a quick question. There's a plant that grows wild. I see it all over the place. It's called, I think it's called whitehead or white top.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure that I know what it is.
It's a member of the mustard family.
Okay. What's it? Is it just for salads or can it be used for something else? And what about the roots and the seeds?
You know, I don't know the medicinal action of that particular plant, but I do know that it's edible, and like all the mustard plants are, you know. And it does make a very good addition. You use the tops, and it flavors the salad.
Okay, so I'm just not sure. Like, should I just bring one in and have you look at it and say, yeah, that's what it is, or should I just maybe check out the herb walk?
Check out the herb walk.
Yeah, come on the herb walk.
Okay, because I want to make sure that's what it is, because I don't want to get poisoned.
Oh, you won't.
So, okay.
If it's in the mustard family, there's nothing poisonous in the whole family.
All right, so I should just maybe get a book on plants and then double-check and make sure what it is then.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, well, thanks. That's all I have then.
All right.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Bye.
There's our music. And you know, the time went so fast because we were having so much fun. It's nice being able to tell people about these wonderful plants. And it'll be even nicer on that herb walk. You'll enjoy it. So call the school, 489-4254, to get on the list. And until next week, be happy. Have a healthier you.
Somebody's coming.